TY LaCrosse is 96.7 FM, 580 AM. The sounds that you are hearing coming out of your stereo and or your car speaker and or your smartphone this morning is that of Buckwheat Zydeco. And joining us on the 5-Star Telecom talk and text line, our good friend and fellow Buckwheat Zydeco fan, the big unit, Bill Michaels. Unit, what's shaking, buddy?
That is, well, first of all, my ass when I run. But secondly, that is some awesome stuff when you talk about Buckwheat Zydeco, getting it up that early in the morning. You cannot help but be happy when you hear Buckwheat Zydeco.
So listen, Bill, a couple of weeks back, I'm tuned into the Bill Michaels Show 11 to 2 here on WKTY, and I'm hearing you, and it wasn't Joe with you, but somebody else filling in for Radio Joe, and I hear them talking about your affection for Buckwheat Zydeco. Now, I used to go to a place in Ventura, California, when I lived out there from like 97 to 03 and saw Buckwheat every Sunday. He played a gig from 11 until 2 every single Sunday with the best spoons and washboard duet I have ever seen in my entire life. And this is a great song here. I've actually got two Buckwheat Zydecos coming up for listeners this morning. But I was just tickled pink when I found out you like Buckwheat.
I love, when he passed away, it crushed me. Two or three years ago, I think, is when he died, and he was supposed to play Summerfest, and that's when he first got sick, and he had to cancel, because we had about 200 listeners going down to have, like, a party. We had a section reserved down at, then I think it was the Pottawatomie stage, maybe it's the U-Line stage now, but we had about 200 seats reserved in the front area for Buckwheat Zydeco, and then he ended up canceling, obviously, because he was sick. But I saw him for the first time I was in college. And I was at Ohio State, and he played a little area called the German Village. It's right down by the Scioto River. And I had been introduced to this music by my Marcus. Marcus was my roommate, and he loved it. And he said, "You got to hear it." Now, Marcus was from the South. He was from down in Louisiana.
Gotcha.
And he said, "You got to hear this guy." And that was the first time I ever heard him, and I thought, oh, my God, this stuff is fantastic. I mean, he was the reason I wanted to go to New Orleans my whole life. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was a shame to see him pass away. But that, and if you've got put it in your pocket, sitting there on your Spotify playlist, that is some good stuff right there. I play that stuff. I crank it up on the golf course, and people hate my guts.
I love you. I love you for this so much more than I could ever admit in polite company. But no, I've got Hey Good Looking, which is a nice little duet with Dwight
Yoakam. That too, yeah.
Yeah, got that one with Dwight Yoakam coming up later. Gosh. So, all right, now that we've talked some music here, Unit, and again, really excited because you're going to play some good music later this morning on your show as well. Let's talk a little Packers and then maybe some Badgers as well. Work us through your thoughts. You're at Lambeau on Sunday. You see the Packers take apart the Raiders. Now, a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Raiders, who had a pretty good start to the game, threw it away once Derek Carr fumbled through the end zone. But give us your thoughts on the game. Aaron, of course, perfect quarterback rating. But what did you take away from Sunday?
Well, I took two things away. One, the offense is starting to click, which is good. And we're seeing Aaron Rodgers, and we're seeing the philosophy of Matt LaFleur is basically a lot of motion. We're going to do whatever it takes to get a guy open. And Aaron Rodgers on first and second down is scheming to get a guy open and to move the sticks. And then obviously on third downs, it's Aaron Rodgers' time, and that's when he does what he does. And that is, whether it's hitting a tight end or hitting anybody open at that point in time, a wide receiver, a back out of the backfield, whatever it happens to be, that's when he does his thing. But what I saw was a little bit concerning, and I wrote about this last night, is the Packers defense started off really hot this year. They were ranked in the top 10, and they were just setting the world on fire. And I started to break the statistics down last night when I sat down. Over the first three games of the season, the Packers were giving up 11.6 points per game. Over the last four games, they're giving up 26 points per game, which is an alarming statistic. And then you look and you say, okay, they're 34.8% conversion on third down over the first three. Now it's up over 41 in the last four. They're giving up 420 yards a game now versus 328 yards a game earlier. I mean, it's just the numbers are starting to go up. So while I'm looking at the offense and I'm going, finally, you're starting to see what Matt LaFleur's philosophy is and that Aaron Rodgers is buying in, but I'm also starting to see the defensive numbers are starting to go up because teams are now figuring out how to get rid of the pressure from the Smith brothers, quick outs, quick over the middle, soft underbelly of the defense. Darnell Savage Jr. means a lot to that defense, and he's not there right now, so they're attacking that area, and they're doing the exact same to the Packers that the Packers are doing to them. Go to tight ends, go to running backs, quick outs, and move the football. And it's just got me raising an eyebrow a little bit at this point. I know Packers fans don't want to hear that because the defense has been so good, but the numbers don't lie over the last four games. They've been going up dramatically, and they've dropped from top 10. Now they're in the top 12, down to top 15. So that's a little bit concerning to me, but all in all, I'm really pleased with what I've seen. And 6-1, let's be honest, I don't think anybody picked them at 6-1 at this point in the season.
No, I agree with you on that, Bill. You know, you guys were having a conversation probably 3 weeks ago now, maybe 4 weeks ago, about how every team in the NFC North, nobody, you know, that every team was good at, really good at something, but none of them were really great at everything. Do you still stand by that, or is it coming together a little bit more for you here a few weeks down the road?
I think the Bears defensively are still pretty good. I think the Lions are getting better as an overall team. The team that, if I had to say, scares me out of the division is the Vikings. The Vikings have finally, as Zimmer finally kind of took some of the handcuffs off of, of Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins is throwing the ball more effectively with more confidence. We're obviously seeing him go downfield a little bit more, and all it took was the wide receivers complaining that they're not a part of the offensive scheme. And maybe that woke their head coach up a little bit. But then again, I still go back to history is Kirk Cousins doesn't win more than 10 games, and he doesn't win in the postseason. So until he does that, we're always going to point the finger at him and say, you may be a good team, but you're not on the verge of being a great team because you don't have a quarterback that can get you there. So if he suddenly wakes up and can get you there, well, then that certainly becomes the most dangerous team in the division. I think they've got a tremendous defense, and they're very balanced. I don't think they're as good as they were a couple of years ago, but I still think they're a tremendous defense, and they're very balanced. But the Vikings are the team that right now, if I'm the Packers, I'm looking at them in my rearview mirror saying they're hard charging right now because it seems like they're putting it together.
Yeah, Bill Michaels joining us this morning, 5-star telecom talk and text line. Check out Bill later this morning, WKTY from 11 to 2. Bill, talk to us about the Bears. This team had all sorts of, I want to say they had all sorts of hype behind them, but reality was that they were a very good football team last year, and many expected to see more of the same. That hasn't been the case. Mitch Trubisky seems to have regressed. Chase Daniels might be better than him. Your thoughts on the Bears, Bill?
Well, I think one of the biggest injuries right now between Kyle Long is Akeem Hicks as well. Akeem Hicks goes on the IR out of that defensive backfield, and that really hurt them. I think that you're starting to see Matt Nagy down there feel the pressure when he was talking about running the football and starting to throw statistics at you and the arrogance that it's his way and he knows better than everybody else. And no, he doesn't. When you don't run the football and teams are able to come after your quarterback and you got a quarterback that really can't handle the pressure, you're playing with fire because eventually it's going to come back to burn you. And we've seen that happen over the last couple of weeks. I mean, granted, their defense, I still believe, is very, very good, but they're putting a lot of pressure on it. They're basically telling the defense to go win them ball games, and you can't do that week in and week out. Eventually, the guy that you gave away the farm for and traded up for has to be a leader, and he's not. And, I don't know if you guys saw the press conference yesterday, but they did their weekly presser yesterday down in Chicago, and they were talking about the running attempts and why Montgomery isn't getting the ball more, and Matt Nagy finally stopped and said, look, I know we got to run the ball. Duh, I'm not an idiot. Well, yeah, you are. You know, and if you're taking that attitude already and you're feeling the pressure after a season in which you were praised gloriously, you're having problems already. And there's guys now kind of sniping internally that Mitch isn't the guy. He's not a leader. He's not a leader of men. And you're starting to hear this stuff and you're thinking, okay, are we hearing maybe an implosion in that Chicago Bears locker room after a season that was kind of magical for them that ended on, obviously, the double doink. So I'm taking a lot of pleasure in it because I've said all along, when they traded up to get Mitch Trubisky, they mortgaged the farm, and it's an all or nothing. And to me, it looks like a nothing. When I hear that guy talk, he sounds like a high school kid getting ready to put a hat on at a conference to show which college he's going to go to. Most of playing quarterback in the NFL is between the ears. Your talent will get you there, but if you can read and decipher defenses and you can put the ball where they ain't quickly, then you're good. And Mitch Trubisky's not good. He's a second slow or a half second slow, and that's causing windows to close and balls to be tipped and interceptions to happen. And that's the reason, let's be honest, guys, if you got 2 minutes to get down the field 80 yards, is Mitch Trubisky even in your remotest thought of being a leader to get you down the field?
No, and he
hell
was,
no.
He
There's no way.
He wasn't before the draft, and I'll let Scrady have something here. I listened to Mike Vick yesterday talk about Mitch Trubisky, and Mike Vick started 5.5 years of quarterback before he played an NFL game. Mitch Trubisky started 12 games of quarterback.
Right.
And I don't buy it either. But let me ask you this, Bill, because obviously I'm not a Packer homer. I'm not a Packer fan. You know, if anything, I lean towards the Vikings. What I've been hearing, though, after this win against the Raiders is that Matt LaFleur should be coach of the year and Aaron Rodgers is MVP. Is Aaron Rodgers really that good? I mean, he threw 5 touchdown passes. He threw only 8 touchdown passes the first 6 weeks of the season, and he threw 5 against the Raiders. Were the Raiders that bad on Sunday, or is Aaron Rodgers that good?
Well, I think, boy, that's a tough question because it's tough not to be the homer. I would say that it was a feeling out process for the first five or six games, and that now they're starting to get it. So if we see this progress, if Aaron Rodgers goes out and throws another three this week and another, you know, three the next week, and he continues to rack up that kind of numbers, well, then it just basically was, let me absorb the offense, let me understand it, let the guys get it, and now we're on the same page and here we go. But if that's an aberration and all of a sudden we see five touchdowns and we go back next week where they only, you know, say on Sunday night, they only score, say, 18 points and they get, you know, one touchdown and a bunch of field goals or something, you know, I mean, then you can start looking at it and going, ah, okay, maybe it was just a magical day at Lambeau Field and we all were there to witness it and we can all thank God that we were. But is he an MVP? He could have an MVP season in him. Sure, I could see that. But statistically right now, no. But I still go back to the game in Dallas. That was the best I've seen him play in a long time. And it was not a statistically heavy game. He didn't have a touchdown pass in that game. So when I look at that game and I say, what did he do? He threw that pass to Tanyan on a flick. Twice he kind of used the shovel pass when he was going down. Twice he was scrambling and threw across his body from his back foot and still put it in there on the laser. These are the things that I was looking to see Aaron Rodgers do ever since he had that shoulder break when Anthony Barr took him to the ground. So these are the things that I'm starting to see out of Aaron Rodgers where I'm going, okay, he's starting to be healthy. He looks much better. He looks like the Aaron Rodgers of old, and he still has his scramble capability in his legs beneath him, so why not? So is he the MVP right now? No, of course not. But did he have an MVP game? Hell yes, he did. And if he continues to do that for the remainder of the season, and you take into consideration he's absorbing a new offense, he's got a new head coach, he's got a defense now to support him, and oh, by the way, a team that just absolutely sucked swamp water last year is now 6-1 going to look for 7-1 and possibly 8-1 or 9-1 by the time they get to the bye. Yeah, you'd have to start talking about him at least in the MVP category because he's the quarterback of a team with such a dramatic turnaround who went from, you know, the outhouse to the penthouse. So that would be the reason you start talking about Aaron Rodgers as possibly an MVP.
Yeah, and that perfect quarterback rating that he posted on Sunday was the first ever in Green Bay Packer history. As a matter of fact, fellas, only three teams in NFL history have never had, prior to Sunday, a perfect quarterback rating. The Packers now no longer amongst those three teams. Bill, before we let you off, and again, for those that are just tuning in now, catch more of Bill Michaels' Radio Joe later this morning here on WKTY 11-2. The Badgers are playing your alma mater, the Ohio State Buckeyes, this weekend. The Badgers, in my estimation, and I don't think this is hyperbole, lost any chance of making a college football playoff on Saturday with that 24-23 loss to Illinois. Give us your thoughts here on this Ohio State matchup. Does Wisconsin have a shot? They're 14-point underdogs now. Scrady thinks that might be a bit too much to actually lay off on the Badgers. Where do you stand?
You know what? I would say that might be a bit too much. I have a feeling the Badgers are going to come back really, really strong. Now, unless, of course, Lovie Smith exposed something that, you know, we weren't aware of defensively, I think they had a flat game. I mean, nobody wants to admit it. Nobody out there, Joe doesn't want to admit it. Nobody wants to admit it. But they were looking ahead. They got caught looking in the backfield, and they got busted up by a bad Illinois team. And that's what happened. We were already talking about them. Remember, guys, last Thursday, I'm doing the show, and I said, look, if they end up losing to Ohio State in a close game and beating them in the Big Ten championship game, then they're on their way to the Final Four because their only loss will be to Ohio State at home and blah, blah, blah. And they were buying into it. Everybody was listening to it. We were now starting to talk about it, and because this was not supposed to be that type of a season. But what they got coming up and guarding, you know, trying to stop Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins and Benjamin Victor, and you start to go through that list of guys and, you know, Austin Mack, and I don't know how they're going to stop everybody because the team speed that Ohio has is phenomenal. The only way they get into the Final Four is if they beat Ohio State and they beat them handily at home, and then they continue to run the table. They get back Paul Bunyan's axe, and they go into the Big Ten championship game, and then they dominate Ohio State again, and they get a lot of help above them. Yeah. That's it. Otherwise, they're not going to go to the Final Four. But do they have a chance against Ohio State? They have a chance.
Yeah,
will have to play an almost perfect game for them to win this ballgame. And Ohio State's going to have to shoot themselves in the foot a couple of times with turnovers for them to win this ballgame.
Yeah, they've got the same shot that Jim Carrey had in Dumb and Dumber, you know, as he's sitting there in that ballroom. He's like, so you're telling me there's a chance, right? Yeah, there's a chance.
I will say, though, I watched the Buckeyes play against Northwestern, and I wasn't all that impressed with their run defense. I know they won by 50. I wasn't all that impressed with their run run defense. So, I mean, Northwestern's terrible at passing the ball, but I wasn't impressed with the run defense.
You ever been to that stadium? Down there in East Lansing, or not East Lansing, but down there in Evanston, Illinois. You ever been to that stadium?
Never.
That place is like going to a big high school stadium. It's so weird to play there. They keep that grass really long, and it's just such a weird place. And I've never seen, even the Badgers have struggled there. I've never seen a team go in there and really just dominate. I mean, Ohio State did a good job of doing that, but you know, you play them at the Shoe, and they're winning 58-3. You know, but it's just such a weird place. It always was. The lights are dim. It feels like you're playing on a Friday night at a country high school. So it's just weird. So, you know, you go in there and you get a dominating win. Get out of there and just consider yourself really lucky, because Northwestern has one of the weirdest home field advantages I've ever seen.
Yeah, 53-3. That's nearly a 58-3 win at the Shoe, Bill. Really appreciate your time as always, man. Thanks for joining us today. Look forward to hearing you later on this morning on WKTY. Be well, my friend.
Guys, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
You betcha, man. Bill Michaels.